Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Great to have you in church this morning. This morning, the title of this message is Hibernating? Question mark. I don't know if you know much about hibernation. I'm really not claiming to be an expert on hibernation, but I do know a little bit around, you know, bears are probably the most commonly thought of animal to hibernate. And there is very ringy. Ring, ring. And one thing I've been told, and I've got friends that live in various places where there are bears, you don't mess with a hibernating bear. That's what I've been told. It's not a wise thing to do. And I'll come back to that in just a minute. But in our PC meeting we had the other night, just as a pastoral care team chatting around, kind of, I guess, the health of our church, making sure that people are, as Nat said, feeling the love or at least being given the opportunity to. We know there are some people that just don't want to actually engage and connect at a deeper level just yet, and we respect that. But for the majority, we want to make sure everyone at Compass is known and being cared for. And we're just talking about, but also something that I'm very conscious and aware of as a pastor is church health. Anything that's healthy should grow. You would know if you've been around here long enough that we're not driven by numbers. We're not driven by that. We're about each person as an individual in the sight of God becoming whole in and through Christ. And then through that their lives are going to flourish in every way, shape and form. And then their lives are going to impact those around them, which means that they're actually going to influence people for the kingdom of God. And that will be, they'll be light, they'll be salt, and that will stir a curiosity in people around them. And then that will lead to those questions and those conversations that lead to them actually experiencing and hopefully coming to know Christ for themselves. So we're not driven by the numbers. We're driven about people becoming all they are meant to be in Christ. You becoming all that you're meant to be in Christ and becoming a bigger person. And the bigger person you become in Christ, the greater impact you're going to have in the world in which you live. Does that make sense? Right. So, but I am also very conscious that over the last 12 to 18 months that there hasn't been as many people coming to Christ as what I believe there could be. And there is not as many people sort of going through water baptism, which for me is a greater marker of the commitment that somebody makes as opposed to just a decision, a choice to begin the relationship with Jesus. But there is a real significant hallmark about going through the waters of baptism, and that is such an exciting time. And to not have as many of those in the life of our church, I'm just going, okay, well, what is that about? Why is that happening? We've gone through a bunch of sort of structural things and process systems and strategic plans and all that exciting stuff to 14% of the congregation. But, you know, we've got like all of that sorted, but I'm still very aware that we're not seeing as many people come into that life-changing, eternity-changing relationship with Jesus. For if we believe that Jesus Christ is the only solution to the terminal disease called sin, then there should be something reflected in how we grow as a community. And so this morning, you know, the old saying is that whenever you point the finger, you've got more pointing back at you, right? So this morning, this is not pointing the finger at anyone. It's actually just an awareness conversation to go, it's not about getting complacent and comfortable. It's gone very quiet in here. You're all looking at me like, yep, yeah, right. Let's get this over with. Because, we'll see if you say that in another 10 minutes. I sort of was thinking about this week, and that is that the condition of our heart will determine if we have a heart for the lost or not. Let me say that again. The condition of my heart will determine whether I have a heart for the lost or not. And I know that Michael, throughout the series of Acts, had the little catchphrase, look up and look out. But this morning, as a bit of a heart check of us as individuals, but as a church, I want us to look in, look up and look out. So I want us to actually just take a moment of vulnerability, a moment of transparency. God sees it all anyway, so we can't hide anything from God. But the reality is that unless we let God in, he's not going to actually come in and be able to do what he really wants to do. So I'm asking you this morning, just keep your heart open, keep your mind open, and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and just say and prompt, heal where it needs to heal, bring life and power where that needs to happen, bring some spark, some enthusiasm where that needs to happen. Are you up for that? Right, we've got 10 people that are with me this morning. Father, just thank you for this morning. Jesus, it's your desire that none should perish. I'm so grateful, Father, for this community that we have. We're just so blessed as a church family, Lord God, in so many different ways. But Father, I just pray that we'll be never come to that place of comfortability, complacency. And I pray this morning that we would be willing to allow you to search our heart, that we wouldn't be sitting here this morning going, "Hey, Wiz, I hope Chrissy is listening to this." But Father, I'd actually go, "Father, what is it that you want to say to me this morning?" That I would be honest with myself and you this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I just want to have a little bit of a heart check. You know, the Bible talks a lot about that there should be a process for all of us going through growth, maturing, development, that we should be being transformed by the renewing of our mind through His Word and being molded more and more into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Do you agree? That's what the Bible would encourage us to, which means that it's not about us staying the way that we are now. It's about going through the ongoing process of transformation through God's power and Spirit and Word in our lives. But also the converse of that is addressed in Scripture, and it's not something that God actually looks fondly upon. I'm talking about the deterioration or the shrinking back or the stepping back or the withering, words used as antonyms for growth, a regression, if you like. I mean, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, if you've got your Bible, just turn to that quickly as an example of what I'm talking about. This is one of those pastoral chats this morning. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." You notice that there is a regression here. There's a deterioration going from walking to standing to sitting. And yet, I believe the Bible challenges us to do the opposite. We are called to sit with Jesus, to start whatever we do out of that stillness and waiting on God. Then we stand, purvey the situation, and then we begin to walk by faith. Are you with me? So the converse can actually happen by walking, standing, to sitting. And Romans chapter 1, if ever you want to take some time to explore Romans chapter 1, it is such a fascinating, it takes a lot to get your head around, but you actually see this deterioration, if you like, of humanity moving further and further away from, even though they know there is a God, they're not willing to actually give glory or honor or praise to God and are actually given over to their own evil desires. So it starts off with this sense of an awareness of there is God, but then it's moving further and further away from the purpose and the intent of what that relationship should be all about, that mankind's moving further and further away from that. It's actually a really kind of confronting, I guess, example of the regression that can take place and that we see in society today. And the reality is that our lives, if we are in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, our lives should be constantly reflecting and in some way, shape or form, bringing glory to Him in all aspects of what we do. That over time we have a growing and a developing understanding of just who God is. And it's through that that our minds are blown and that our lives then reflect that in our speech, in our actions, in our attitudes, in our relationships, in our use of resources and time and our whole lives. That's what our lives should be. But the reality is that as we go along, life happens. You know what I'm saying? It's like we've got this God thing going on, but at the end of the day, life still happens. And I was just thinking about this week and thinking about some different scenarios that we can find ourselves in. The end result of what I'm about to say may not be where you are right now, but there may be some elements of these examples that you might just go, yep, I think that will resonate with me. I think that actually there's something in that. For example, maybe our lives just slowly just begin to become more and more hectic. With that, the pressure builds up, the diaries jam full, less and less time to just simply stop and exhale. We're running at a frantic pace from this meeting, to that commitment, to that drop-off, to that pickup, doing this, getting the cat to the vet, all those sort of things happen. Emails and missed calls begin to pile up, and there doesn't seem to be any time for anything. Or maybe one disagreement turns into another disagreement. The silence in the relationship increases. More and more thought time is actually given to how to avoid that person. The distance between you grows. The heart hardens and becomes less and less likely to apologize or even consider engaging in conversation again. Or maybe one mistake that we make, we get over that, that gets sorted out, but then we make another mistake, and then we think we make another mistake until we get to the point where we just basically say, what the hell, why bother? And guilt and condemnation then come in like a flood, and there's a growing sense of those things. And conversely, any sense of God's love, his power, his life seems to be just simply a distant memory, and it's almost like they've vanished from my life altogether, and there seems to be a constant shadow over me of guilt, shame, failure, condemnation, accusation, and then for some reason there just isn't that same sense of joy or passion, life, peace, purpose. And the thought crosses your mind in that moment of just like, how the heck did I find myself in this place? Or maybe there's one invitation that you've given to a friend, a family member, a work colleague, or whatever, then another, and after a few rejections, there doesn't seem to be any point in your mind about asking anymore or trying to raise the conversation because you look around and the people that you see around you are so far from anything that resembles faith. And it seems like there's an ocean of doubt, fears, and questions keeping them from even contemplating or considering Jesus Christ as any part of their life or world. Or maybe there's been a need in your life, a real need, a valid need. It's not a want, but a real need. And you've got the time frame to get this thing sorted out. The clock is ticking, tick tock, the clock is going. We try more and more to work it out ourselves. We work harder and harder at solving this so-called problem to getting it fixed. We get more and more focused on this need, and the need dominates our thinking. And instead of taking it back to Jesus, we get more and more anxious, we get stressed, we frantically look for a solution, and before we know it, we're not even inviting or engaging with Jesus into the need at all. Then one day you find yourself, you realize you're in a cold, bleak winter when it's meant to be spring or summertime. That all sounds pretty heavy. But yet for so many of us, that can be, part of that can be the reality of life. Somehow now I find myself, I'm curled up in a tight ball and it's just me. Somehow I feel strangely safe, and yet if I just stir for a second, I know deep down that things are not what they are meant to be. And I find myself existing and not living. And my existence really only serves me, and I give no thought to those around me. I don't take any time to question or to ask or inquire, and if I do, I'm not really interested in the answer that they give. I give no thought to their situation, their condition, their spiritual or their physical condition. Their eternal destiny doesn't cross my mind, or whether they're truly living, or maybe they're just existing like I am. Now you might ask yourself that question, how did I find myself in this place of hibernation? How did I find myself hibernating? When did I stop living and stop truly seeing those around me, seeing them as Jesus did? And today, wherever you are on that spectrum of what I've just shared as illustrations or examples, wherever you find yourself on that spectrum, I want to poke and I want to prod the hibernating bear this morning. And I started off by saying, do you know how dangerous it is to mess with a hibernating bear? Do you know how bad it is right now that I'm poking and prodding people this morning who are kind of going, Phil, what are you doing? This is not a five quick easy steps to prosperity. This is not three quick kind of keys to success. This is actually so much more deeper than that. Because what we're about to hit is the heart. And as your pastor, one of my primary concerns is the condition of your heart. Chrissy didn't know I was preaching on this morning. Isn't it fascinating that she said, you know, where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. So maybe God is trying to say something this morning. And let me just rest assured, church, rest assured, this week I have really wrestled with this. Because I've found myself going, Bill, where is your heart? Where's your heart at? Because the condition of my heart reflects my awareness, my love, my care, my concern for those that don't know Jesus Christ yet. Are you with me? Okay. This morning, I just quickly want to look at a parable, but look at it differently. I want to look at it from a perspective on what we're talking about today, the condition of the heart. I mean, it's not a trick question, but really, when it comes to actually connecting with people that don't know Jesus yet, maybe as we would love and so as the Bible describes they can, I mean, if you've got somebody that's warm, that's open, that's loving, that's empathetic, that's others-focused, that's generous in every way, somebody that is engaging and considerate and kind, and you compare and contrast that to somebody that's cold, that's hard, that's selfish, self-righteous, judgmental, who represents Jesus more? Not a trick question, by the way. If you're struggling to answer that, can we please talk later? But we know. And all of that reflects the condition of somebody's heart. Dallas Willard, philosopher and a wonderful Christian leader, and if you get a chance to read any of his writings and books, I encourage you to do that. But he said this, the most important thing about you is not the things that you achieve, it's the person you become. And we often emphasize and evaluate even others on what they've done or what they've achieved, not who they've become or who they are becoming. I mean, you think about advertising for just a second, all the infomercials and advertisements, and you're trying to watch YouTube and those annoying ads come up. You're getting bombarded with so many messages to try and push you in the direction of achieving or obtaining a thing. How many businesses, how many ads? When's the last time you saw an ad or were prompted in a direction because of some advertising that we want to develop you, the person. We want to see your life transformed and changed, not about a product or something that you should have. When's the last time you saw an ad like that? I think the world is fantastic at getting us to focus on the things that don't really matter, even like Chrissy said this morning, to try and get our attention and our priorities off the main thing. And one of the main things as Christians is that we have to be aware of the condition of our heart. Where is my heart really at? So if you've got your Bible, let's quickly take a look at this parable. Mark chapter 4, it's the first parable listed in the Gospel of Mark. Quite a strong emphasis on it. And Jesus, one of the only parables that Jesus goes on to fully explain to his disciples. So if you've got your Bibles, I'm actually reading from the NLT, the New Living Translation this morning. And it goes a little bit like this. You might see it up on the screen as well. Listen with an exclamation mark. Who thinks that we should actually listen if it actually has an exclamation mark afterwards, right? You're listening? If you don't listen to me, listen to Jesus' words, even better. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as being planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Great parable. Now, there's lots of different angles or ways that we can look at how do we apply this to our lives. But this morning, I want us to actually take a look at how do we personalize this. So this morning, I'm not pointing my finger at anybody here. I am preaching to myself this morning and us as a church family. There are two constants and one variable here that we see. First, the first constant we see is the farmer with the sower. Sowing, and he's generous in sowing. He throws out a lot of seed all over the place. The second constant is the seed. We're told the seed isn't good or bad. Their seed is just being spread out. And we're told in Jesus' explanation that seed is the word of life, the word of God, and it depicts and it shows us an example of God's great desire and action to save humanity. That's God's desire through his word is to bring people into a relationship with himself. So they're the two constants. The one variable that we see in this parable is the seed, is the soil. It describes the condition of the soil, different conditions. And as we go through these this morning, let's just allow a moment of honesty to go, okay, which ones actually relate to me? Because the first one actually says it's hardened. It was hardened. It was on a path. Seed was thrown out. And in the Middle East, you can see from the picture here that, and I'm sure if you've been out in the countryside and you've watched sheep walking around or cattle or whatever, that sometimes there's often paths. And you could imagine over time they're treading over it and that gets compressed and it gets compacted and it can become almost as hard as, and especially in a dry, arid climate like the Middle East, becomes so hard. And some of the seed fell on that. And sometimes our hearts can get like this. And sometimes it's a slow process of hardening that can take place, whether it's your arteries, your heart, it's a slow process. It's not that atherosclerosis, the buildup around inside the arterial walls, doesn't happen just overnight. It's a buildup over time because of poor diet, etc., lack of exercise, etc., etc. And it's the same with our spiritual heart that over time, whether that's through pain, rejection, perceived failure or not having the right amount of success or seeing others succeed, we don't, or just things falling apart, whatever it may be, is that over time we can slowly have a hardening of our heart. It's almost like this protective shell forms around our heart. That protective shell is represented and manifested in things like cynicism or criticism. Bitterness, suspicion can creep in. And I think it's fascinating that the world as a whole generally tries to reinforce this idea that I'm more of a victim than I am an actual human being. That there's this idea of about rights and I'm justified and in my victimness. I don't think that's a word. Victimhood. Okay, I'm being a victim. Let's just leave it at that. And I can become so wrapped up in my hurt and my situation that I don't even notice what's going on around me any longer. Yet the exciting thing from my perspective is that connecting with God or reconnecting with God brings revelation that we're no longer victims, but we are truly human beings that He's created, fearfully and wonderfully made, that He's got a plan, a purpose for our lives, and that He wants to see that heart of stone be transformed and replaced with a heart of flesh, so we can begin to actually live life and live life abundant as He's promised. And if we'd allow Him to, that's what He wants to do in our lives. I think one of the things I've noticed in my life when I find my heart starting to get hard through a situation or something's happened where somebody's hurt me or let me down or disappointed me or whatever it is, and I start to get hard, one of the practical things that I try to do to get past that hardness of heart is actually do something as simple as do something for that person that has no benefit back to me. Just a small act, whether it's actually to send an encouraging word and a message or do something for somebody else. If I can't do it to that person, then I need to actually go, you know what, I need to do something to help keep my heart soft. So if you find yourself in a place of hardness this morning where you feel like you're in like this place where your heart is hardened and you're kind of like isolated and you keep everybody out and it's just like this, if you want to break out of that, the good news is that the seed is so strong, all it needs is the slightest crack and that seed can come in and begin to take root of His love and His forgiveness and His grace in your life. And I'm not sure if you've seen a footpath where a seed has dropped down and sprouted into a plant. It can be strong enough to crack and raise a footpath or a road. That's how strong this seed is. That's the good news this morning. What about the second type of soil, the shallow soil? Indicating here, as it says, that there's some soil on top, but then there's rocks underneath that. Author Richard Foster says, superficiality is the curse of this age. Superficiality is the curse of this age. I mean, as a church, we try to create opportunities for people to connect at a deeper level. I mean, we've got a lunch after the service today where you'll have an opportunity just to hang out with others and get past the surface level conversation, actually start to spend time with people. We have other social things that we put on. We have life groups, we have blokes, we have chicks. We try to create opportunities for people to be able to connect beyond the superficial. Is there anybody else here that just really just doesn't enjoy superficial conversation? I mean, it's got to be done. I'm just saying there's times when you've got to do it. Who loves superficial conversation? There are certain people trying to put their partner's hand up. You do. Don't do that. But as a church, I don't want us to be a superficial church. I mean, the reality is we're not perfect. We get things wrong. But we can't work through the wrong things if we actually stay superficial about it. There's got to be relationship. The test and strength of relationship is not when things are going great. It's when they go to crap and you've got to work it out. Then you find out it's one good indicator of the depth of relationship. But superficiality is the curse of this age. And I think, again, society tries to keep us shallow and self-focused and self-centered. I mean, we live in a selfie generation. It's all about me. Let me ask you this question. This is really deep. What's the opposite to shallow? Oh, you picked up on that, did you? Do we agree? Opposite to shallow is deep. So we're not called to be shallow. We're actually called to be deep. In Psalm 42, it says, you know, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs. It searches after you. There's this longing within us for depth, for intimacy, for not just the superficial. And then it says later on in verse 7 of Psalm 42 that deep calls to deep. There's this sense that there's this yearning inside all of us for something just deeper than the superficial. We know that the soul, that the heart cannot be measured and will never be able to be measured. We talk about somebody being a deep person or we've got a deep relationship with somebody. I love them deeply. That you can't put a measure on that. There is just, it's hard to come up with the words to articulate and describe what we mean by depth in that sense. But do you get what I'm saying? There is something about us that we try to avoid the superficial. And if you embrace the superficial, and if that's where you want to stay, then can I encourage you, you're missing out on some of the most wonderful, beautiful things in life. I mean, it's a risk, high likelihood of getting hurt, but even within that hurt, if there's real depth, you'll be able to work through it, which takes you to a deeper depth yet again. So there's something about depth. To speak of depth means that there is something happening under the surface. Something happening that we can't see. Something going on deep behind. And we often see that manifest in people's actions. I mean, if we stop for a minute and we see someone's actions of a negative nature, if they do or say something that might be a little bit out of character, and that happens a couple of times, hopefully if we're smart enough, we're not just going to take a look at that behavior, but we're just going to go, there must be something else going on in their life. You know, they must be having some stress outside of work, or there must be some stress in a relationship. Maybe they're under financial pressure. Maybe there's something going on in their health. Maybe somebody in their family is not well. Do you get what I'm saying? Usually if there's an outburst or a reason for their, there's going to be a reason for their behavior in a negative sense. But really, there should be actually evidence, and people should be curious about the reason for why there is good things happening in our lives as Christians. If we're in relationship with God, if we're in relationship with the creator of the universe, and we're experiencing and we're deepening in our relationship with him, and he's transforming our lives, and he's doing new things in our lives. And as we prayed this morning, I don't want us, and I don't want you, I don't want me living off secondhand revelation. I don't want us living off yesterday's revelation. I want us getting a hold of what God's got for us today. So that when you go to work this week and you go back to uni or you hang out with your mates this week, there's something fresh, there's something new about you. And the great thing is that just as the depth within us as human beings cannot be satisfied in the natural sense, and isn't it good that we've actually got a God who's eternal? He doesn't run out. So if you're willing to go deep with God, hold on to your seat. Because we've got this amazing God that can just blow your mind day in, day out, week in, week out in your relationship with him if you actually hunger and thirst after depth. And people around us should actually see that transformational process unfolding in our lives. And the best time for that to happen is when the crap hits the fan. When everything else is going this way and that way and going, instead of going to where it needs to be, how we respond, how we react in that situation should be a great testimony and witness to those around us. But people should be actually curious and stirred. There should be something happening in our lives because our relationship should be deepening and growing with Jesus, that as we live out that revelation, as we live out with conviction that what he's asked us to live out in the context of a relationship with him, it should stir a curiosity with people around us. People ask me, Phil, how is it that you kind of like have these people that come to know Jesus in your life? What do you do? It's almost like they want five quick steps on what to do. I don't know how to answer that except to say, you know what, I just love Jesus and I try to live a life that's pleasing to him. And I try to do that consistently. And if given the opportunity, I'll use words, but hopefully my actions will do enough of the speaking so I don't have to use words. And if I do use words, they go, oh, now that makes sense. You get what I'm saying? So for us here, do we settle for what we've had? Do we settle for what we've experienced? Do we settle for our current understanding of who God is? Or do we actually dare to believe that there's got to be more in God? And I'm here to remind you and encourage you this morning, there is more in God. There is more for you. There's more for your family. There's more for your heart. There's more for your life. What about the third kind of soil? So we've got hard, we've got shallow, and I've called the third kind of soil cluttered. Cluttered soil. Seed falls on the ground, thorns and weeds choked it out when it grew up. I like this saying, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll certainly tempt us to be busy. You like that? Very quiet in here. I hope that's because you're thinking. Maybe you're just preoccupied with lasagna. I don't know. But isn't it fascinating that when the soil is good, that weeds tend to grow quicker? I don't know about your garden, but it does my head in. Like the plants I want to grow quick don't, but suddenly weeds just keep coming. They just keep coming. It's like if the soil is really good, they just seem to sprout up and grow so fast. What's that about? Why do weeds grow so much quicker than the plants that you actually want to grow? Don't know. So even when we've got good soil, when our hearts are good soil, it's actually more of a target for the enemy to come and tempt and distract us from what we're actually wanting to accomplish in God. And again, like hardness of heart, clutter begins to develop over time slowly. Does anyone like watching the TV show Hoarders? Have you seen... Oh, seriously. I love watching that show. I just think, oh my gosh, how the heck? Wow. Like, you just have all these different people and there's like, you know, cats climbing in amongst stuff and, you know, there's rats and there's, you know, from floor to ceiling, there is boxes and, you know, stuff that's never been opened. They get shopping and hoarding all sorts of different things. And if you've never seen those hoarder shows, get on board. You'll love it. Seriously. But one of the things that's a constant in those shows is when they try to get the person to get rid of their trash and their junk. I mean, it's a big battle. It's a big struggle. But when they get the psychologist to come in and speak to the individual concerned, there's usually always a trigger. There's usually always an event or something that's happened and it started this in their life and then it snowballed and become life controlling. So instead of them controlling the situation is now controlling them. And it's something that's just happened over time. It can be like that with busyness and the clutter of life. And so often it's so easy. They say that like the heart is like, it can be like Velcro, that things stick to it, but so often it's the wrong things that we allow to stick to our heart. And clutter and busyness can actually be one of those. Our schedules being jam-packed and so full, it's almost like sometimes we kind of have this thing about busyness that we wear it as a badge of honor when we're really, really busy. And our busyness becomes so intense that we don't even take the time to evaluate or get a sense of where's my heart at and how am I traveling. When we get caught up in the wrong kind of busy, when we get distracted by doing the things that don't have a kingdom mindset to them, that don't in some way reflect God's glory or point people to Jesus, then our hearts begin to shrink. Our hearts begin to shrivel because the weeds of clutter and busyness have begun to come in and choke the life out of us. I think the enemy is so good at trying to find whatever way he can to divert our attention from away from what really matters, and that is knowing the condition of our heart before Almighty God and how soft our heart is to him and how open we are to being transformed and renewed and molded and made into everything that he has caused us to be. And finally, the good soil. The last one here is listed And that, for me, is a heart that is soft and open to God and saying, God, you know, I'm so far from perfect. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy in my life. I need you, Holy Spirit, to help me to make good decisions. I need you, Holy Spirit, to manifest self-control in my life so that I turn away from that and not turn to it. And Father, that I would actually turn to you. I need you. That's the kind of heart that represents the good soil. So this morning is just simply a heart check. The condition of our heart will determine whether we'll have a heart for the lost or not. That's a pretty heavy message, I'd have to say. It's not like one of those feel-good, pump-your-tires-up kind of messages today. But I don't think people's eternal destiny is something that we should take lightly either. And this morning, I wouldn't be doing my role as a pastor if every now and then I didn't get in my own face in front of the mirror and say, Phil, we need to have a serious talk, son. What I've done this week. Okay, Phil, who have you been reaching? Phil, those people that you and Nat got to see come to Christ last year, but that was last year. Those people are walking with Jesus. What about the other people I've put in your life? What are you doing this year about people that need Jesus, Phil? And that caused me to go, well, I could stand up here and I could preach a great message about, here I am, Lord, send me, and pump up our tires and get all motivated about the lost and their eternal destiny and that sort of stuff. But I just went, hang on a sec. So there's that little revelation of just going, it's actually more about where my heart's at. Will determine where, how much I consider and I'm aware of those that are around me. That makes sense. I may be way off being with that. But that's just what I've taken this week to go, you know what? As a church family, I think we need to actually just ask ourselves the question, is there hardness in my heart? Is there kind of a shallowness about where I'm at that I need to make that conscious decision to go deeper? I want my life to reflect the amazing God that I'm in relationship with. Or have I just become so busy that I'm not even making time for those people that God's put in my life anymore, but I don't see them through the busyness of my diary? I'm not even aware of that anymore. Because my heart's desire is that we just be a people that acknowledge we come way short. God's not finished with us yet, but my heart is, God, I just need you. God, I want you in my life. I want my life to radiate your love. I want my life to reflect who you are. Even when I stuff it up, they're going to be able to see God's grace and patience with me in a community of people that are supporting one another to try and help us each other do that. 2 Chronicles, two scriptures, then I'm done. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made. Ezekiel 36:26-27 says, and I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I'll put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my commands. I think the amount of times that God has done that for me, I'm so grateful. When I've actually just had those moments of honesty before God to say, God, I think my heart has become hard in this area. I think I've just got way too busy with the stuff that doesn't really matter. And I need to actually get back to that place where my heart is soft before you and my life really is reflecting your glory. This morning, can I just ask that you bow your head and close your eyes? If I preach this to anyone this morning, I'm preaching it to myself. Can I ask you, just as you sit there, does any of that relate to you personally? Don't worry about the person next to you. Let's ask ourselves just that simple question. Allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to your heart right now. It's not condemnation. It's not like heavy beating you up. It's Just going, hey God, does any of that relate? I want to say that there is a God that loves you so much. He is just wanting to pour his love and his life, his power into your situation, your circumstance. All he asks is that we'd open our heart to him. Keep our hearts open. I know there's just so many people in the life of our church that love Jesus. A couple of things out of this message that I've had to deal with this week myself. Holy Spirit, right now, just pray. I thank you that you are able to meet all of us where we're at right now. Whatever part of that that relates to our circumstance, I just thank you that with God all things are possible. I thank you that any moment that we turn to you, you're there waiting for us. And this morning you were waiting. You've been waiting here, waiting for us to gather together. You knew each and every one of us would be here today. Nobody is here by accident this morning. That if we just simply turn to you this morning and say, Lord, here's my heart. I just give you everything. As I was praying for us as a church this week, I just really was praying that in this moment of time, right now, in the next few minutes, that for hearts that are just open to allowing the Holy Spirit just to come in and breathe fresh life, fresh revelation, a fresh reminder of just how fearfully and wonderfully you have been made, that you've been created for a purpose, that God's plan for you is not redundant if you allow him to come in afresh. I was just reminded there are people in the room that you've had great experiences with God. You've seen God do some great things. But can I challenge you this morning? Don't keep looking back and miss out what God's got ahead of you. See, I'm doing a new thing. Holy Spirit, right now, just come. We just want to allow you to minister in this place right now. I pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I know all of us are surrounded by people that are not in a relationship with you. And I know we desire that they would come into that. It's not about them joining this church. It's about them coming into a relationship with you. Father, a heart full of the lost has to start in our hearts. Your power, your presence, your grace, your forgiveness flowing in and through our lives. Holy Spirit, right now, just pray. I'm not going to ask people to come out the front necessarily just now, but I'm not asking you to do this because I need some kind of encouragement to know whether people listen this morning or not. This is actually a moment for you and God. It's none of my business which part of that message, if any, relates to you, but as a means of response to God right now, and he's looking at our hearts. If you know that God's speaking to your heart right now and he's just saying, come on, just give me all of you, I surrender all, just all of you. I'm going to get you to just stand up where you're at right now. If I was sitting, I would actually stand. Because I just want God to be all in my life. I want him to have my whole heart, my whole life, withholding nothing in Jesus' name. That's you, just stand right now, just wherever you're at. Just stand, just say, Lord, that's me. That's me. Father, I pray that we'd be a church that constantly hungers and thirsts after you. Our hearts would be soft towards you. That we give you the space, the room to move in any way, shape, or form that you want. you would look upon this, your church, and you'd see a church that's just full of good soil. Good soil. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Minister right now into these situations. My heart. Seated. Father, just thank you for this morning. Lord, we just thank you that your love for us is relentless. Even when our hearts get hard and cold towards you, you're still there pursuing us. When we don't desire depth, you're still there offering it. When our lives get busy, you're still there with loving arms waiting for us to turn to you. And for the good soil, Lord God, you delight in that. That's how you desire our hearts to be. So Father, just thank you for what you are stirring. I pray that out of this heart check that we would take that up with you this week, but also allow that to stir our hearts for those that don't know you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the great harvest of souls that's coming into your kingdom through this, your church, Compass Church. That we as a people, Father God, will be daily, weekly, as it was in the New Testament, people being added to the church daily. So, Father, just thank you for what you have done, what you're doing, but what you're going to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We ask your blessing upon this food that we're about to eat, this time that we're about to have, that we can move past the superficial to start to develop deeper friendships and relationships. We pray all of this in the wonderful, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we hope you can hang around for some lasagne and enjoy hanging out. If you need to go, don't forget next week we have Preston being here. So that's going to be a fantastic. And then Willie's speaking the week after that. So two big weeks to be mindful.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.